Okay, so moving on to session number two. The times they are changing. Change is not necessarily a bad thing. In fact, change is normal. Change is really a sign of life. Do you know what the medical definition of death is? I'll tell you, shall I? It's a body that does not change. Surprised me when I was doing my research. Even though I'd been on the ambulance service, I didn't know that was the medical definition. Now, during my talk, your body is going to change. About 500,000 cells in your body are going to die and be replaced with 500,000 new cells even during this message. Our skin replaces itself every month. It's quite interesting, isn't it, really? And do you know that 70 to 80% of the dust in your house, if you've got any dust, you ladies probably dust more than my wife, but don't tell her I said that. No, but 70 to 80% of the dust in your house is dead skin that's flaked off. Your stomach lining undergoes complete change every 5 days. Your liver every 6 weeks, your skeleton every 3 months, and your whole body every 5 years for a man and 7 years for a woman. So you see, change is natural. To not change is to die. But I understand that our world today is in a super warp drive kind of change. Some for the good, some for the not so good. Some gives us pleasure, and some gives us more tension and stress. Do you know that the digital watch that you have on your wrist contains more computer power than existed in the whole world in 1961? Your car, which has more computer power to get you down the street than all the computers combined in the Apollo 11 spacecraft that carried Neil Armstrong to the moon. My sat nav on my previous mentioned horrendous journey, for those that remember what I said in the first session, kept informing me of the horrendous delays awaiting me. It even offered alternative routes. Do you want to take a diversion? And when you press a button, yeah, okay, it then tells me that there's even greater delays on the route that I was going to be diverted to. I don't know if any of you ever been to an Outback restaurant. We used to have one in Romford. I think it's shut now. But they give you a pager to tell you when your table is ready. You go and sit at the bar, have a drink and all that, and they give you this little pager. You know, listen, we're now living in a world where it's cheaper, faster and safer to send a signal 20,000 miles to a satellite and back rather than walk over 20 feet or so and tell you that your meal is ready. Strange world, isn't it, that we live in? It's a very fast-changing world. It's been estimated that more information has been generated in the last 30 years than in the previous 5,000 years. The average consumer will see at least 1 million marketing messages in a year. I wonder if your kids have ever said, oh, tell me what it's like when you used to go and turn the TV on by hand when you had no remote control. Wouldn't believe you, would they? Not long ago, in comparison, people cooked on wooden stoves, and when Grandma said log on, she meant put some more logs onto the fire. And when I was born, I can just about remember, a crack salesman meant someone that was really good at what he did. And when I was born, weather forecasting was a joke. Still, I guess some things never change, do they? I think you get my point that we live in a very fast changing world. Now, looking around here, I don't suppose any of you are old enough to remember Bob Dylan's early hit, The Times They Were Changing. Let's watch this video. It's over 50 years old, so it's a bit in black and white, and it's not the best quality.
Swimming on your sleep like a stone. The times, they are changing. from the size of your pen. And keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, but the wheels then spin. And there's no telling who that is naming. For the loser, I'll be there to win. For the times, they are changing.
Certainly are changing. I mean, on there, I don't think nowadays they'd have them smoking their cigarettes or drinking their booze, would they, on some of the things. But there you go, the times, they are changing. When American astronaut Alan Shepard, who was the first American into space, the Russians beat him by a few months, I think, with Gagarin. Although he wasn't actually a pilot, but Alan Shepard was the first person to pilot a rocket into space. He was getting ready to head up there into space for the first time. A reporter asked him, what are you depending on in this flight? And he answered, I'm depending on the fact that God's laws will not change. And Shepard is right that God will not change. His laws do not change. His word does not change. His love doesn't change. In the changing times, we have a God who can be trusted to keep his promise. In the present, and I'm confident about the future because of what God has done in the past. Although God did give us a new covenant, a new way of atoning for our sins. No longer do we need to make animal sacrifices like in the Old Testament. But because he appeared in human form as Jesus, he paid the ultimate sacrifice on our behalf by his death and subsequent resurrection. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 tells us, Jesus is the same yesterday and today, and forever. His love, grace, and mercy endures forever. I'm a great believer that we and our church, if we're involved in church, must move with the times. It's important that we present the gospel, the good news of Jesus, in a way that is relevant for today's world. But I'm not saying is that the message of the Bible must be watered down or changed to accommodate the ever-changing world. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. He's talking about things from the Old Testament. He says, I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Thank you. You know, so many people tell me that most of the teaching, the laws and Ten Commandments in the Bible no longer have any relevance in this modern world. For instance, it's acceptable for a family to consist of dad and dad and children and mum and mum and children. Women can now become pregnant without any input from a man. Some might say hallelujah to that, I don't know. You know, other than perhaps a donated sperm, and soon I think even that probably won't be needed the way genetic things are going. Although there's someone who couldn't have children, I'm not totally against the advancement of IVF treatment for childless couples. I think we have to ask the question, where do we draw the line? You know, whether you believe in a Father God of creation, or whether you believe in Mother Nature, Homo sapien pregnancy is designed by intercourse between the male and the female. That's the way your bodies were designed. Okay, I accept that some of the laws spoken about in such books as Leviticus were, dare I mention that dreaded word, for health and safety reasons, as they wandered 40 years in the heat and dirt of the desert. And some are not appropriate for our partly sanitized world. But I do believe that we should still adhere to the Ten Commandments and the rules of morality. After all, do you know that most of the laws in nearly all civilized countries are based on the Ten Commandments? Now, for instance, murder, rape, theft. You know, in most civilized countries, there's a law against those things. I once ran an Alpha course, which is a course where people get a chance to examine the Christian faith in a very informal way. You start with a meal. My wife used to cook a lovely meal, a glass of wine, and very relaxed sort of atmosphere, and we would just look at what the Bible says and what we believe in, and it's like a discussion group. Anyway, I did a group for 16 men. Most of them were unchurched, which was a great result to actually get them along. It's probably because Maggie's quite known for, she's a good cook, you can probably tell that, but I like my food, and they could have a few glasses of wine as well on the house. So anyway, we had 16 guys there. Now, midway through the course, I had told them that over the previous weeks, because it was like a 10-week course, I'd secretly videoed some of them at work and at play. You know, you could see the shock horror on their face as I got my video and was about to stuff it into the machine. Of course, I hadn't, but I didn't know that. You know, what a frightening thought that God sees all our deeds. And we're told in the book of Revelation, which is the last book in the Bible, that they're recorded in a book of life that will be open and read when we come face to face with God when we die. Now, one of the unchurched men at the Alpha Call seemed a bit offended, and he said to me, "Look, I'm a good person. I keep the commandments. Are you telling me that I won't go to heaven unless I become a Christian?" I said in reply, "Mike, I know you're a good man." And he said, "But, you know, you're saying keep all the Ten Commandments." And I said, "Well, can you name all of the Ten Commandments?" And he said, "Well, I've never murdered. I've never stolen anything. I've never been unfaithful to my wife." To which I replied, "I'm pleased to hear that, Mike. But what about the first four commandments? You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make idols. You shall not take the name of your Lord, your God, in vain. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy." You see, God isn't a killjoy. He doesn't do these things, you know, he's not just doing it to stop us enjoying life. He does it for us. He wants the best for us, his children. I mean, do you realise that when every one of the Ten Commandments is broken, somebody gets hurt? particularly with murder, that's serious hurt. What about when your partner is having an affair and you find out? How do you feel when something's stolen from you? In the police force, it was a daily occurrence, I had to go and report burglaries. People get emotionally hurt as well. But of course, with the first four commandments, if they're broken, then God gets hurt. He wants our love and our affection. It's about our relationship with Him. I wonder what other gods we have and we worship. You know, is God the most important person in your life? You know, I cringe sometimes when I hear the expression, "Oh my God," from all the soaps, I guess, or isn't it? It's common, young girls now, don't you? I mean, they emulate everyone from the soaps and what. Oh my God. I play with a badminton quite regularly, and there's a woman there, probably about 60 odd, and every time she hits a bat, she goes, "Oh my God." You know, and I think, you know, they use it in the wrong context. How many people in the UK go to church on a Sunday? You know, it's less than 10%. What has happened to the holiness of Sunday? It takes me longer to get to church now than it used to on a Sunday because of all the traffic. It's no different to all no day of the week now, is it?
Kindness here and there.
I tried to live a good life.
Well, let's see how good. This way. Next. File, please.
Okay, I admit it. I did a lot of bad things.
Yes, I see.
But I've done good things too, you know, to offset the bad things. Like, one time, I cheated on a test, but then I cleaned up trash in the park.
Mm-hmm.
That should balance out, right?
Let's find out. This way.
That should have balanced out, right? It should have balanced out.
Next. File, please.
Oh yeah, I devoted my entire life to make this world a better place. I dug wells in Africa, I donated blood every month, and I ran an orphanage in India. I mean, I just wish I could have done more.
Mm-hmm. And is this your subscription?
I only read the article. I only read the articles!
Next.
My mom goes to church.
Was baptized as a baby? Take American Express, right?
Next. File, please. Whoa. Somebody's been busy. Well, let's get this over with. Sorry, I didn't know he was with you. Okay, step on the scale. Not you. Him.
Hey, wait a minute. That is totally not fair.
That's why it's called grace.
If the only thing that you grasp today is what's on that video, I'll be a happy man. When I became a Christian at 37 years of age, a lot of my friends said, "Well, don't believe you, Roger, you still have a drink, you still come to parties, you're still enjoying life." Well, up to that point, when I was an atheist, and I used to work and play very hard in the police force. I thought all Christians were self-righteous, boring, hypocritical people. Sadly, some are. But it's not like that at all, really. You know, and you haven't got to be good to be a Christian. You haven't got to be good to get to heaven, because I'm pleasing one way, because I'd never get there. Because I'm far from perfect. God's still working on me, and I might get there eventually, you know. Ask my wife, I used to be a real male chauvinistic pig, but I'm getting better, you know, and now I know how to load up and unload the dishwasher. So it's nothing to do about doing good deeds. You know, our passport to heaven is all about our personal relationship with Jesus. About 5 years after that Alpha course I told you about, I attended Mike's funeral. He hadn't become a church member, and I don't know if he ever took that big step of faith that one has to. I only occasionally met him at the golf club. Sadly, and I hope that I'm wrong, but I doubt it, that he knew he was dying, and he had requested a secular, humanist type funeral, which someone called a funeral facilitator took the service. The family had paid him 175 quid. You know, I would have loved to have taken Mike's service. I come cheap. I never charge for my ministry. At least I could have given not a false promise, but words of hope to the grieving family and friends. Now, although I don't preach that all people go to heaven, because the Bible doesn't tell me that, but at funerals, when I conduct a funeral, I don't do as many as John does, but on all occasions I have, I don't know where people stand with God. I don't know where any of you stand with God. I've got no idea. I know some of you perhaps go to church, some don't. And I'm not judging you in that. But when I'm at a funeral and I don't know where someone is with God, I remind them, the people grieving, of the thief on the cross when Jesus was crucified. And his last thoughts and his last words on his journey through life, he recognised that Jesus was the promised Messiah. And he acknowledged that in front of Jesus. And Jesus, who was also near to death, said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise. Forget the past. You've got a bright future because you've recognised me and acknowledged me as the Messiah." You see, it's never too late to turn to Christ. I don't know where my own parents stood with God even, but I had the hope that in their last breath, I turned to Christ. I was on the ambulance service before I was in the police. I'll tell you a bit more about that in a minute. And I can remember the very first day on duty, I was called somewhere where a 35-year-old man had chest pains. And he looked me in the eye. I should never forget that. I can see his face now. And that was many, many years ago. 45 years ago. He looked me in the eye and said, "I'm dying." I said, "Oh, don't be stupid." I didn't realise that at age of a man of 35 could have a coronary and die. Within 10 minutes, he was dead. People do know, I think, when their last breaths are coming. So, you know, be encouraged. And I always say to people, if you can't have a relationship with God when you're alive, don't expect it once you've died. Never too late to take that step of faith. The times, though, are changing. Or should I say, maybe some need to change before the time runs out. You know, Bob Dylan gave this advice in the song, "Come gather around people wherever you roam and admit that the waters around you have grown and accept it will soon, you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing." The book of Revelation, which is the last book in the Bible, tells us that unless our names are written in God's book of life, in other words, unless we have accepted adoption into the family of God, there won't even be an entry in the book of life. We'll be thrown straight into the fiery lake and drowned. Now, friends, I'm not here to judge you. It's not my job, that's God's job. He alone is judge and jury. But shall I tell you a secret? You may not believe this, but no one's perfect, not even me. I know you might find that hard to believe. The good news is that just as a parent still loves a child, even when they're naughty, which children can be, can't they? It's, you know, sometimes they don't realise that what they're doing is wrong, but you still love your children. And that's the same with God. He never stops loving us. His love is unconditional and so often undeserved. 1 John verse 8 to 10 says this: if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. Certainly in the Anglican Church, that's often used before the communion. Now, I'm hoping this one's going to work. This, I had a bit of trouble with this illustration last night. I had a few technical hitches. Let's have a look if we're going to get this to go. There's a news report from Tokyo, Japan, regarding the Kato Festival, which lasts a whole month. Five teenage girls sat amongst the court musicians aboard the parade floats in Kato's Gaon Festival on Tuesday, the first female musicians in the festival's 300-year history. Since the 18th century, the upper deck of the floats, considered a sacred stage for court musicians, has been off-limits to women. But this year, festival organisers were faced with a dilemma. Permit women to participate or face a possible boycott from the music groups opposed to the band. Shigeru Fugami, head of the organising committee, said officials bowed to changing times, getting rid of the ban on female musicians in the parade, which comes on the final day of one of Japan's largest festivals. According to the police estimates, more than 1 million people watched as the giant wooden floats were dragged down the streets of Japan's ancient imperial capital. The practice of excluding women is rooted in Japan's indigenous Shinto religion, which holds that women are impure and must be kept away from the sacred land and buildings. That belief prevented women from setting foot on many Japanese mountains, including Mount Fuji. Until the 19th century, equal opportunity laws have helped women make inroads in business, politics and academia. But long-observed customs and traditions die hard, and change comes slowly. Women are banned from entering the sumo wrestling ring, and they're still not allowed in tunnels and mining sites because of a similar belief. The good news is that unlike the Shinto religion, the Christian faith is not exclusive. It's available to all. Male, female, young, old, even the impure. After all, when you read the Bible, you find that Jesus actually came, not for the goody-goodies of the world, but for the unrighteous. Can I encourage you, during your next time of personal reflection and prayer, maybe to confess your sins to God, who is able and just to forgive anything you've done in the past? Some of you may be feeling guilt that of things that you've done, you know, you're not proud of. You know, if I was to get a video out of your life, would you be embarrassed or would you think, oh, that'd be great? Mine would be triple X rated, I can assure you, if you were to play a video of my past, you know? But God still loves me and he still loves you. You know, you don't need a priest to go for a priest to confess your sins to God. I really believe that. And if you struggle to do it on your own, John and I are more than happy to pray with you before you leave this place. Okay, we're finishing a bit early, but I don't know if anyone's got any questions or observations that you want to ask either about either of the sessions. No? You're totally confused now, everybody? Okay. Well, I said we finished a bit early on time, but you know, enjoy it. I think.
There is that little conversation before lunch.
Oh, yeah, you've got 20 minutes. Hang on. Excuse me, we've got 20 minutes to earn yourself some chocolates.
I want to enjoy the ground still. We are going back to a different dining room, so we're going to be guided by Anne, who's on reception, to the sisters' dining room. So if we can be back here by 5 to 1, and then she can take us over to the dining room. So we've got about 15 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. 15 minutes to go.
The first one back, we'll get a box of...
I like low calorie ones, Rodney. I bought some software recently. It was overdue, about 10 quid, I think, but it records anything off a screen if you're doing it. I had a bit of a job getting that, because on a lot of the YouTube sites, one thing, it was the whole thing, but on this software you can sort of highlight just the bit you want to record down. And it's quite good.
But looking for stuff that's fascinating, that was.
Yeah, it's very time consuming. But
an old Frank Sinatra. I suppose he was doing a presentation of a few songs. It's really dated. It's his first one. It must have been. I like that sort of stuff.
There's software where you can enhance something.
We use a lot, some of it for Christmas time, Easter, some of it for remembrance service. I found one with two little kids, one of the Chinese girl and a little black boy, talking about Easter, and it was so funny. Good session, mate.
Do you want to take your things?
Oh, yeah, better.
Following your words anyway, so.